Hello, everyone. This is Jim Lucy, Editor-in-Chief for Electrical Wholesaling and Electrical Marketing, with episode number 94 of the Today's the Electrical Economy podcast series sponsored by Champion Fiberglass. The company began producing epoxy fiberglass conduit and fittings in 1988, and in 1989 developed the first conduit from epoxy resins that had flame resistance and low smoke characteristics. This met the most stringent codes and specifications. Episode 84 will be looks at the electrical pricing trends for the past month in the nation's hottest industrial markets. We'll also provide updates for the five key weekly economic indicators: initial unemployment claims at the state level, rail freight car traffic, the Baker Hughes rig count, oil prices, and copper prices. Our thanks again to Champion Fiberglass for sponsoring the Today's Electrical Economy podcast series for 2024. The week ending April the 13th, the advanced figure for seasonally adjusted initial unemployment claims was 212,000. That is unchanged from the previous week's revised level. The four-week moving average was 214,500, and that's unchanged from the previous week's revised average. The U.S. unemployment rate through the month of March is 3.8%. There were 6 states that had large unemployment decreases of at least 1,000 for the week ending April the 13th. New Jersey was down 4,551, claims now standing at 9,405. Wisconsin down 1,798, claims now standing at 4,629. Pennsylvania down 1,647, claims now at 11,547. Illinois down 1,540, claims now at 7,951. Ohio down 1,254, claims now 4,444. Minnesota's claims now standing at 3,331, claims now down 1,189. These states had the largest unemployment increases for the week ending April the 13th. California had an increase of 3,063, up to 45,469. Oregon was up 1,764, now at 7,168. Connecticut up 1,652, now at 4,589. Georgia up 1,221, now standing at 5,669. New York had a smaller increase, 596, but their total claims were second only to California, as near as I can figure, at 17,184. And the state of Indiana, up 505, now standing at 3,148. And interestingly, the economic indicator for the overall U.S. economy is freight rail traffic. It's a measure of the amount of raw materials and finished goods being shipped by rail. The best source for this data is the American Association of Railroads, or AAR. It publishes this data weekly. For the most recent week, total U.S. weekly rail traffic was 466,463 carloads and intermodal units. That's up 1.5% compared with the same week last year. If you look at the first 15 weeks of 2024, the total carload and intermodal tally is 6,959,079. That's up 2.4% compared to last year. There were some solid increases in individual freight categories compared to this time last year. Total intermodal units were up 9.1% compared to this time last year. Petroleum and petroleum products were up 8.4%, and chemicals were up 4.3%. Coal had a pretty significant decline. It's at 15.7% compared to this time last year. Non-metallic minerals are down minus 8.7% compared to 2023 in April, and total carloads were down 4.5% through this time in April of last year. If you track the oil market, you're probably familiar with the Baker Hughes rig count. This tracks the oil and gas rigs that are operating. The data is available by state, by basin, and nationally at www.rigcount.bakerhughes.com. On this slide, you can get an idea of the largest oil and gas deposits. It gives you a good sense of just how many of these large oil plays are in Texas and Oklahoma, and how big an area the Marcellus gas region covers in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and parts of West Virginia. There's also a large section of the Permian Basin that sprawls out onto Mexico, and New Mexico actually has some pretty active activity going on right now. There's been no major move in either direction for the Baker Hughes rig count. The overall index added 2 oil and gas rigs, but it's still down 134 rigs from last year at this time. That's a 17.8% drop. The Permian Basin, the nation's largest, added 2 rigs and is down 40 rigs from last year for an 11.2% drop. Part of that basin sprawls into New Mexico, and New Mexico is the only state showing increase over the past year, but it's only up 3 rigs. The current price for WTI crude oil as of April the 19th is $82.36 per barrel. WTI oil continues its move above the $80 mark. It started heading above $80 in mid-March as global concerns over Gaza and the aid to Ukraine package in Congress were impacting the global markets. Also, you had the uncertainty over the Federal Reserve Bank's plans to cut interest rates. Prices year to date for WTI crude are up 16% since January 1, and they are currently up pretty solidly over the 2024 average price of $78.44. Economists like to call copper pricing Dr. Copper because it's a leading economic indicator for future activity, since copper is used in so many industries. The construction industry is among the leading markets for copper because of its use in wiring cable and plumbing pipe. Copper surged to well above $4 per pound and is continuing. On April 19th, it hit $4.50 per pound on the COMEX exchange, and it's up 15.5% year-to-date alone. In this week's analysis of the copper market, John Gross, the publisher of the Copper Journal, said that over the past 3 weeks alone, spot copper on the COMEX has risen 50 cents to $4.50, and that's its highest mark since June of 2022. The month-to-date average has climbed 30 cents to $4.27. It's interesting to note that copper went above $4 per pound and on the COMEX on March 14th, and that is the same day that West Texas Intermediate crude went above $80 per barrel. $80 is also kind of a mark of a pretty healthy economic activity in the oil market. Now let's take a look at electrical product pricing trends through the month of March. The best source for this data is Electrical Marketing's Electrical Price Index, and this is published monthly at www.electricalmarketing.com. This pricing information for over 20 electrical product categories is available as part of a $99 annual subscription to Electrical Marketing. Now let's take a look at some of the most active product categories on both a monthly and a year-over-year basis. First, let's take a look at the chart on the right. Total index for the month of March was up 0.6%. The historical monthly average increase is 0.21%. Motors were up the most, up 2.4%. Circuit breakers up 1.5%. Non-metallic conduit and industrial fixtures both up 1.2%, and showing the biggest drop was panel boards and switches, down 3%. Chart on the left is showing some of the most active products on a year-over-year basis. Total index for the month of March down 2.6%. The historical average, oddly enough, increase of 2.6%. So circuit breakers up 9.6%, industrial controls up 7.2%, fasteners up 6%, generators up 5.6%, building wire, 5.1% increase, hand and hand power tools, 5% increase, showing some fairly sizable declines for the month. Electric measuring and integrated test instruments down 4%, ballast down 5.1%, motors down 10.9%, and wiring devices and connectors down 13.2%. As I mentioned, the Electrical Marketing Price Index has over 20 product categories, and there's only highlighted some of the biggest movers in that index for the month of March. I was updating our market forecast data for the largest industrial markets for an article in Electrical Marketing, and this data is current as of the end of 2023, so we got a pretty good annual look at it, and I picked out a few of the fastest growing markets. This slide shows the top 10 markets. Probably not a whole lot of surprises here. I mean, LA came in as the top market. There's only two markets that are over $1 billion in potential through the, and this is the annual data for 2023. $1.2 billion in potential for the Los Angeles Metro, just almost $1.1 billion for the Chicago Metro. New York, New Jersey, and it just actually goes all the way through the eastern Pennsylvania, the New York market there, $925.6 million. We've got the Dallas Metro, $814 million. Number five, Detroit Metro, Houston at number six. Minneapolis came in, $541 million. Boston came in at $487 million. Number nine spot, Philadelphia coming in at $482 million. And the Atlanta market coming in at $481 million. We estimate these markets using a sales per employee figure that we use in the Electrical Wholesaling Market Planning Guide. For every industrial employee, we calculate there's $2,650 worth of sales potential. So when you see a big employment change number, there's a good chance that there's going to be a lot of new industrial potential. Showing the biggest employment changes and therefore the biggest changes in industrial sales potential, we have Houston, 9,100 more industrial employees through the compared to 2022. Dallas, 7,700 more industrial employees. Again, this is the annual data. Chicago, 7,100 more employees. Atlanta, up 4,700 employees. Seattle, up 4,500 employees. Miami Metro, this is going all the way up through West Palm Beach, 3,800 employees. Tulsa, up 3,800 employees. Kansas City Metro, up 3,300 employees. San Antonio market, up 3,200 employees, and Indianapolis, up 2,900 employees. And as you can see in the list, we've got three Texas markets, San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston, and some fairly small markets, I mean, compared to the major metros. I mean, Kansas and Tulsa, there are very definitely some mid-sized markets, as is Indianapolis, and yet they're ranked right up here with the big boys as far as having some large increases and some pretty sizable amount of industrial sales potential. This wraps up our podcast today. A special thanks to the folks from Champion Fiberglass for sponsoring today's Electrical Economy podcast series for 2024. Please contact me if there's any other type of economic data you'd like to cover in these podcasts. Our next presentation will be on May the 6th. And until then, stay healthy, be happy. I look forward to talking with you in 2 weeks.